Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Do, how to do, I need to be the message that I want to hear. neither doubt nor fear can find a place in me. With God as my devotion, I'm sure of who I am, I'm standing strong. Filled with grace, I live the master plan.
Another way. The way in is the way out. And when you shine your light, you will find your way. Ricky Byers Beckwith. Do you want to know your way? Are you confused about sex? Are you confused about sexuality? Are you all up in other people's business and you wonder why people do what they do? Why people can't think like you or do what you do or follow your rules? Do you want to know the way? The way in is the way out. And when you go within, oh my God, you will come out with a new awareness. You realize that you are the one that you judge. You realize actually the person you were judging was actually a screen for your own judgment of yourself. And when you recognize that, oh, forgiveness becomes so sweet because you just forgive yourself for being judgmental. For projecting your own issues, projecting your own drama into somebody else. As a matter of fact, you may actually be grateful for what they did because you get to see yourself when you go within, because the way in is the way out. From that place, you know life is all about choices. Ricky Byers Beckwith, do you want to know the way? Well, she's making her way to Life Conversations Radio December 18th. I'm excited. To find out more about Ricky Byers Beckwith, her website address is weletitbe.com. Weletitbe.com. We started the show off with Julie Dexter reminding us that life is really about choices. You know, don't regret it. It is what it is. Life is so complex that sometimes we gotta find our way, make our way, fail our way. Fail our way to success. Fail our way to maturity. Fail our way to recognizing who we really are. JulieDexter.com is a website. The song is Choices. What choice did you make today? Is it moving you forward or moving you away from what you know is true? Is it moving you away from the light that dwells within you? If it is and you don't know what to do, the way in is the way out. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this moment in time. thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. That's right, you do. How do I know? Because you do. Because you're an extension of me. You can't be on this planet without making a difference. The moment you were born, as a matter of fact, the time of conception, there was something that was created at that moment. There was a coming together of your mom's genes and your father's genes, all coming together. There was something that was created at that time. And then you made your grand entrance onto this planet and showed up and said, hey, here I am. You make a difference. You're making a difference right now. I don't care how you judge yourself. You're making a difference. You're making a difference when you're judging yourself, because you may inspire somebody else to be an inspiration. I want to be like them. I'm going to love myself. You make a difference because you are, because you exist. You are that place where God gets to recognize himself, where God gets to recognize herself, where God gets to recognize itself. So, ooh, I got it going on. Look at me go through this life. It's so challenging, and I still keep believing. I keep holding and hoping and trusting and moving along and loving. Oh, God is saying, ooh, I just love how I can work out this thing called life. No, you're not separated. It's just an illusion. And the illusion of separation is the drama of life. So when we think and feel we're separated, we experience an illusion of sex and sexuality. We don't know who the flip we are. And when other people experiment, we judge them. But today we want to have a new awareness, new paradigm on sex and sexuality for ourselves, that we get to understand who we are. Because there's so much that we don't know about ourselves. We think we do. We think we can read books and holy books and listen to radio shows and watch televisions and listen to podcasts and all the other stuff that's out there, audiobooks, whatever it is. There's so much more within us. And you're so much more. You're so much more. And that's the journey of life, to experience the moreness that you are. That's right, the moreness. There is a moreness to you. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. We are here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. And I'm your host, Life Coach Ade. And if you're listening for the first time or the second time, where you been? If it's the second time, you better keep coming back because we're going to track you down. If it's the first time, welcome home. All the shows are archived. You can find the shows on iTunes and subscribe to Life Conversations. It makes it a lot easier. Just type in Life Conversations and the shows will be downloaded onto your computer, lappies, and all the other stuff. I think those of you who have iPhones, there's a podcast. Well, there's an app. Okay, let's try that again. There's an app that's called Podcast. And when you do that, you can download. You download the show. So if you don't want to do all of that or whatever the case may be, you just want to know how to come back here and listen to the show here and the guests, upcoming guests, and all the great things that are happening. I tell you, you have not lived until you spend some time in Life Conversations Radio, listening to all the wonderful guests, the wonderful hosts, the craziness and the joys and the laughters and the truth and the deepness and all of it and the superficial, all of it. You haven't lived. So, of course, you're listening, so you've definitely lived. You're living now. You're living. You've been resurrected. Oh, the laughter, the joy is in the house. the theme for the month, November, is gifts of gratitude. That's what we've been focusing on in different ways, giving you an opportunity to look at your gift. What is your gift to this planet? What did you come here to deliver? What is your message? You are God's postal person. You're here to deliver a message, and people are waiting for that message. They go to the mailbox. They go into their consciousness and meditating and wishing and affirming and vision board, and they're waiting for the message that you have. But you say, I don't know. I don't know if I'm worthy to carry this message. Shut it up. Deliver the message. Someone is waiting for your gift. You are here on an assignment. You called yourself forth. That's right. You have a calling. You called yourself forth to deliver the message, and you will not rest until that message is delivered. I said it. You will not rest until that message is delivered. And once you start delivering the message, the message will start delivering you. Oh, my God. And you realize, wow, you got backloads of messages and inspirations and creativity and joy that you want to share with people. And you're just like, oh, my God, what took me so long? I knew I had a message for the world, but I forgot. I forgot, but now I know. Amazing grace. That's right. Life Conversations Radio is where it's happening. Bishop Carlton is in the house, and we are getting ready in a few to drop down. So we're inspiring you to ask yourself, what is your gift? What do you have to give to humanity? And how can you be grateful? It's double meaning, the gifts of gratitude. When you give of your gift, you feel a sense of belonging to this world. And of course, you can't help but be grateful. And even if you become the channel for somebody else's gratitude, oh, you receive a gift because you look at their expression and they're so grateful for what you've given to them or the being a catalyst of their transformation, and the gift is that they're living their life fully. So the gift of gratitude is coming. We're wrapping it up tomorrow. Well, actually, yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow? No, tomorrow's Ancestral Blueprint. So this is actually the last show where we're going to be talking about. What are we talking about again? Yeah, the gifts of gratitude. And tomorrow we have Lisa Iverson joining us. And for Ancestral Blueprints, an opportunity to go within and see, why is your life the way it is? Are you living out an awareness that is wanting to be seen? Lisa Iverson and yours truly, Life Coach Ade, with Ancestral Blueprints every last Wednesday of the month. Every last Wednesday of the month is Ancestral Blueprints. Now, what else do I need to tell you? Well, for those of you who are new here, let me welcome those of you who are new. Welcome those of you in the chat room. And Dave. Silent listeners, this guy's just guest. Cece is in the house. Sarah Sunk. I won't even try it. Well, I guess I can try it. I mean, nobody judging me but myself. Sarah Sanu. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm calling it until I hear different. A.K.A. Kiva. Don't say too loud. You don't want us to know. Joyful Tamara Joy is in the house, bringing that joyful self. Welcome, welcome. Tracy. Yes, I'm sorry to keep you up all night now. Wait a minute. Don't say that. That don't sound too good. Well, it sounds good. Just want to give ideas. Anyway, moving right along. Yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying the book, Tracy. And Electra is here to light up this place. By the time we leave, it won't be the same. Welcome home, those of you listening on the phone line, on the archive. Those of you listening online, thank you for stepping in here. Delicia is in the house. Deborah is in the house. Oh, I almost called you Deborah now for some reason. Crazy. Tanya is in the house. Celeste is in the house. The house is full. We're getting ready to get started. No, we're not. Almost. We're getting close. Who's keeping track of time? Pace yourself. And if I sound funny, it's because I feel funny. So I'm going to try real good. No, I'm going to be good at muting myself when I need to sneeze because my body's going through a healing process. And, okay, now that I got that out, I think I'm good. So if you hear me sneezing, just excuse me. And really, you don't have to excuse me. I'm going to sneeze anyway. the nutcase is in the house. The Nutty Professor, Life Coach Ade. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. If we're taking your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your doubts. Today's theme, today's topic is a new paradigm on sex and sexuality. What does it mean? You know how complex sexuality is, and we all want to pretend we understand it. Go sit down somewhere. But together, we can bring a new awareness by talking about it, by asking questions, by sharing. So we invite you to share your thoughts, 347-426-3346, or you can post your questions, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears, your disbeliefs on the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show fan page. Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, like page. And why do I say bring in your fears, your worries, your doubts, your disbelief? Because this is the house of love. We don't care what you bring. We know you either expressing love or asking for love. So we got you. Our intention is to support your transformation. So whatever's going on, this is the house of love. Bring it to the table and let us anoint you. As if you didn't know you were anointed. And if you don't want to post your business on Facebook, everybody else does. I don't know why not. But anyway, if you're kind of shy person like me, don't want people to know your business, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com, hover on the Life Conversations radio button, and then there's a drop menu that says Ask Life Coach Ade, and click that. It's amazing how things will stay with you forever and ever and always, or forever and ever and a day. Every time I say button, I always think of a Scottish guy many years ago who said, push the button, push the button. And if you don't know what a Scottish accent sounds like, then that will go right over your head. Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Celeste. Tomorrow for Ancestral Blueprints, we're talking about being the light. Being the light that you are. And that's the theme for December. We're encouraging you to be the light. You're already the light. And you're so delightful. God is so grateful that you are who you are. Because you, God, gets to have a good day. Don't get me started. What else do I need to tell you? Oh, on Friday, every Friday, actually, on Within Radio, the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show syndicated. And so you can listen to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show on Within Radio. And to find out more about Within Radio, go to inspiredbroadcasting.com, inspiredbroadcasting.com. And, of course, don't forget, around 1, we have Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. And that's the, don't do it. It's old now. Don't do it. Okay, I won't. I think that's it. Let's see what I need to do. Let's bring on Carly Jackson to remind us as we create, develop, tap into a new awareness of sex and sexuality. And we've got some questions. Ladies, y'all be asking some questions. I can't even wait to get to the questions. But anyway, and let's play Carly Jackson, and then we'll be ready to go deep in consciousness and expand our awareness where we recognize that we are pure awareness with Bishop Carlton Pearson. And this is Carly Jackson, A Lesson in Oneness. So when you're judging somebody else, be careful. You're simply reflecting your consciousness.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation, 'cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
And so it is, and so I am, and so I, we let it be. It is the truth. If you're not experiencing it, just keep living, keep trusting, keep meditating. Carly Jackson, you can find her on Facebook, Carly, CARLLIE, Jackson, JAXEN. We are one. That's a lesson in oneness. Speaking of oneness, share the show with the rest of your extended self. You know, all of them. Just share it right now. Tell people, come and listen to this. Bishop is about to drop it like it's hot. Because it is. When you're sharing God, when you're sharing truth, when you're sharing passion, oh my God, you just connect to something so big and so great, so amazing. You just can't even wait. You just like, just open your mouth and the words are flowing through and you, just having that moment, what I call spiritual orgasm. You see the churches now. You see people running around holding their skirts. They call it a holy dance. I don't know what that's like in the mosque. I've never seen it there. I think they're a little bit more contained. But you certainly have seen people having a spiritual orgasm in churches. And then they get out of church and act like they don't even know what that is. Okay, let's move on before I lose some friends. Well, if I lose you, you ain't my friend anyway. We're just one. All right, it's time. It's time. It's time to stop cutting up. And just read a little about Bishop Carlton. I mean, he's home. And yes, Michelle, it is truly our pleasure to have Bishop join us every month. And so thank you for the work that you do as well. I need to do this and do that and do this and just read a tiny little bit about him. And, you know, maybe one or two of you in the chat room don't know him. So just for the sake of this, one or two of the people that don't know him, here you are. Bishop Carlton Pearson is blazing a new trail of spiritual leadership on a global scale. That's right. He's doing that with over 30 years of celebrated national media exposure. Bishop Pearson has demonstrated that he's an esteemed, articulate, and leading authority of the modern Pentecostal church. And he's doing so much more, reminding us about expanded consciousness, as he calls it, that we are truly one with God, that we can experience heaven on earth right now. With the summer 2006 release of his book, wow, it's been that long? Wow, time flies. The Gospel of Inclusion, Bishop is quickly becoming known as a voice of reason in a world of religious extremes. He's followed up with his latest book, God is Not a Christian. Yes, he did. God is not a Christian. He's not? He's not a Jew. Really? Not a Muslim, a Hindu? Oh, I can't believe it. God dwells in us. Really? In us. Around us. Okay, so the real title is God is Not a Christian, nor a Jew, a Muslim, or Hindu. You knew that. Because God dwells in us, with us, around us, and God is all there is. And I am so grateful for how God is expressing in Brother Carlton and just how he says yes to life. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, especially skeptics, it's nice to be skeptical, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome Bishop Carlton Pearson, who is back home. He's not a guest, he's a friend, he's myself, he's an extension of you. Welcome, Bishop, how are you doing? Oh, wait a minute, I know what's happening. We need to fix this. I had such a great flow going on. I was so in the flow in technology trying to mess with my flow. Okay. Be still and know that I am. Okay. So let's ask Mieli. Hasn't Mercury gone direct? Yeah, I think Mercury still say, ha ha, I'm gone, but I'm still around. Wait a minute. I know what's going on. Let me see if I can play a song. I don't know if I can do that. Don't worry. Everybody just pray, pray, praise God, and just let everything work together. all is well. This is a good one. Okay, it's time for us to meditate while I work this out. I think I know what is going on. Same thing happened yesterday. No, it's not, actually. All right, all is well. Anybody got a joke? Let's see if I can play a song and then work this out. Yeah, check your intention. How did this happen, Life Coach Addy? Let's see if this works. I don't hear nothing. Everything has come to a standstill. Hey, Celeste, can you hear me? Because I can hear myself in here. All is well. Let's try this. All right, let's have a moment of silence. I don't know why this is happening, but I trust the process. Live radio. If this was recorded, we would edit it out. But no, this is live radio. So what can we do here? I can't even see you. Okay, wait a minute. Okay. All right, I'm beginning to get impatient now. I can't be stupid enough. Like, okay, come on now already. Let's see what's going on here. Let's see what's going on here. Chat room. Let's see what's going on in chat room. Nope. Let's try a different browser. But something tells me it's not. I am so grateful for the internet. I am so grateful for how easy it is to connect through the power of the internet. I'm grateful for the person who invented it and how, you know, sometimes it's easy to take it for granted. It's easy to even the show. Okay, great. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of you telling me I can hear you. Okay, good. So just join me in being grateful for my laptop, grateful for this moment. I am so grateful. Sometimes I take it for granted. Thank you, Glenda. I appreciate you. Woo-wee. Maybe this is my time to sing. Nah, that would definitely cause a disconnection. I don't understand this. Okay, let's try this. All right. Live radio. It's a good thing that I own this joint, or else the studio manager will be like, what the heck is going on? Well, actually, I do have a studio manager in my head. Tell you the truth, there's a part of me that say, what the heck is going on? But it sounds like all is well. Let's be grateful. The many voices. Yes, we're almost back in action. See, when you're grateful, everything works out eventually. I can handle being on the spot. Who's trying to test me? I am one with the one consciousness. There is nothing I can't do. Computer, I'm just kidding. Let me lay hands on my laptop so it can just be all. Hi, we're almost there, listeners. We're almost there. Come on now, somebody got a joke? Well, the joke was on me, really. Let's go here. Okay, I'm going to read something. That's what you do. Because that would take me out of my head. Stop confessing. Can't help it. So, as we prepare to bring Bishop Carlton, because I can't unmute him right now. Here's something to think about. Let me pull this up. I got so many browsers, it's not even funny. So we're talking about a new paradigm. That's what they do on the big stations. They act like nothing's going on. I don't have a backup right now. But we're talking about a new paradigm of sex and sexuality with Bishop Carlton Pearson. And everything is going just as it should. So everybody can just calm down. But, you know, as I was preparing for the show, I really wanted to share this, so this is my opportunity. It's like there's so much confusion that we have about, that we have about sex and sexuality. And I'm going to ask Bishop this. For me, I think the confusion we have about sex is, it's the confusion about our sexuality. And it just means I'm doing other things. I don't get distracted. I am, but you don't need to. And I was reading an article today, and I actually like what they said here about sexuality. It says, what is sexuality? Sexuality is a complex aspect of our personality and self. We can stop right there. There's a complex aspect of our personality and self. Our sexuality is defined by sexual thoughts, desires, and longings, erotic fantasies, turn-ons, and experiences. In many ways, sexuality is the force that empowers us to express and display strong emotional feelings for another person and is a natural stimulus for the procreation of our species. Now, that's what they say. Well, part of it, I say yes. It is about procreation, but it's so much more than that. And if it's so complex, we don't really understand it. So there's a lot of confusion, and I'm still trying to get back. I'm trying. So there's a lot of confusion. Stay on your thoughts. They're with you. They're sending you love. They're hugging you. They're blessing you. They're with you. Okay, good. So we have a lot of confusion about who we are. We have confusion about our own bodies and how we're showing up and what we're taught in spiritual, religious institutions, even spiritual centers. Everybody has their own opinion about sex and sexuality. So today we want to inspire you to have a new awareness. And I'm about through with this now. Tell the truth. Okay, enough already. Enough already. Come on. Okay. I know everything happens for a reason. But right now, I'm having a little struggle to be with that. All right. Take a breath. Trust the process. Maybe this is a good opportunity to announce something that I keep forgetting to announce. I was going to announce it yesterday. Life Conversations Radio is looking for somebody who is passionate about promotions and marketing. You know, someone who wants to be a beneficial presence, who is creative, who sees an idea and can take it to a whole new level. And, we're inviting you to join the team. You can send me an email. You can send an email to, if we're on Facebook, you can inbox me on Facebook. Or send an email to ask@lifecoachade.com. ask@lifecoachade.com. Bishop, I'm coming to you. I am coming to you just when I can sort this thing out. All is well. This is. All right, let's see. I can't even get to my studio to play a song. I'm running out of things to say now. See, it's easy to talk when there's no pressure to talk. But when circumstances say something, just keep talking. And it's like, I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. Is it hot or is it me? I think it's hot in here. I think it's kind of hot down in Atlanta. Okay. I just won't even dare restart my computer because when I restart my computer, it thinks I'm asking it to meditate. And it might take a little while. Okay. It's messing up a brother's flow. I have my questions. I'm waiting to bring on the bishop. We get ready to do our thing. Listeners are like, that's it. I listen to the archive. I'm leaving. Don't leave. I need you. Pray for me. Oh, man. All right. Surrender. That's all I can do. Ah, yuck. It's enough. Okay. I'm going to try something else. I'm going to try something else. But I want to do it without the dead air. But I can't do it without the dead air because I can't get to my studio. Wow. Now, this is an experience. One I can't wait to forget, but it will take me a while to forget it. Oh, I think we're close. All right, come on, Chrome. Okay. Say the prayer of protection or something. That's right. God is my help in every need. God does my every... No, that's a prayer of faith. Okay, well, I need to be praying prayer of something. God walks beside me, guides my way through every moment of the day. I now am wise. I now am true, patient, kind, and loving too. All things I am, can do, and be. And my studio is coming up as I pray the prayer of faith. And, woo, Lord. Okay. I'll finish the prayer of faith later. Okay, I don't even know where I was, where I am. Let me just bring on Bishop Carlson. Oh, my God. Bishop.
Am I there?
Yes, you are here, and thank you for being here. Oh,
well, we just watched you handle stress very classily with great dignity and great teaching and great groundedness. And I was observing and actually enjoying watching you handle that. That was very good.
Enjoying my meltdown. Oh, I mean, we take these things for granted, you know, but once they decide to do move in their own terms, oh, yeah, it's a wake-up call. So anyway, let's get started. Oh, my God. Okay, so where are we? Okay, we're back on Life Conversations Radio. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. We had a technical glitch, but everything is back into alignment. Well, we were never out of alignment. So, Bishop Carlton.
Shift happened. Welcome back.
Shift happened.
Yes, very.
Oh, did that shift hit the fan? Oh, my God. It was pretty messy.
I know. We go through those shifts in life. That's the way it is. H-I-F-T, for those of you who are watching. It happens. And even if
they leave the F out, I don't care, because that has to happen so you can experience the shift.
Times like that, you don't want to leave the F out. I know.
Leave it out. But you know the difference between the other one and shift is the F. You know, when you add F to the other one, you find your freedom. When you find freedom, you can shift in consciousness. So actually, we want people to hear it without the F and then embrace it with the F. So
good.
Anyway, I'll move on. That's the difference. Okay, let me throw it to you so I can gather, take some deep breath and wipe this sweat off my brow. Now, you know,
I've got to ask you this question.
Thank you. Now, I've read a little bit about you, just tiny little bit with your books and you being an author, a teacher, a leader, but I want to ask you in this moment, it's a new day, I want to ask you, who are you? Who is Bishop Carlton Pearson?
Excuse me, for the first time in almost 60 years, the last several years, my whole response to that is becoming. Because I've done so much, written books and produced albums and pastored churches and founded churches, oversaw hundreds as a bishop. Those are things I did, but I never knew what I was. I knew the performance and the function. We're human beings, not human doings. And beings is an ongoing term. It is ageless and timeless and infinite. So to say who I am might put a limit on me, other than to say I am becoming. I'm evolving. I am transitioning. I am transforming. I am transpiring. I am transmuting. I'm in movement and momentum, and I am. And I'll stop there. And it's a wonderful freedom to be nonspecific and simply say, as the divinity that we believe created us as creative and creating, that I am in the moment. Just seizing it. Somebody says, where are you? And I say nowhere, which means now here. If you just change that W, now here or nowhere. So I'm here and now, and I'm now here, and that here doesn't last long, and yet it lasts forever.
Yes, right. I mean, when you talk about it nowhere and it now here, it's like being nowhere and being everywhere at the same time. Because you're now here, then we're everywhere.
Everywhere.
I am becoming. I love that. Mm-hmm. Well, let's jump in, because time is doing what time does, especially since that extra entertainment that I didn't know was going to happen. So
we enjoyed the show.
I'm glad you did. I don't know if I'll listen to this show. I was like, oh, my God. There's a little bit of a perfectionism in me, but I trust the process. It is what it is.
Absolutely.
And actually, I actually want to go to something that you wrote. The energy shifted, because I was going to read this later. But this whole thing about being perfect and you talking about enjoying that, and in my own mind, thinking, oh, my God, okay, calm down. Everything you were hearing was what's going on in my head. Mm-hmm. And you wrote something that I think is so powerful, and I think it's important. I'm just going to start the show. You wrote, it appears we have lost our sense of what hurts our culture the most. We celebrate wars and war heroes, but when one hero becomes too human, we freak out. Mm-hmm. We can handle heroism, but not humanism.
Yeah.
Not justifying infidelity, But where are our truest values, virtues, and reality? And I bring that up because just what I went through, you know, that was real life happening.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a part of me that just really just wished that never happened. And there was another part that felt like, okay, it is what's happening. I can't do anything about it. But in the context of sex and sexuality, your comment here raised a thought for me. It's like, challenge we're having, humans that we're having, is we freak out when we get in touch with our human self. We want to neglect our human self and be so spiritual, so holy, and so be a hero. But real life is about recognizing our human self, is it not?
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about sex and sensuality and sociology and spirituality, I believe there's a direct connection between all three of them. Six, seis, sex, because according to the document, some people call the Bible, on the sixth day of creation, mankind and sexuality was created. And the instruction was multiply, procreate, recreate, co-create. That is an instinctive nature that needs to be nurtured to make it decent within the human experience. And we call it love or making love. Sex doesn't really happen between the legs as much as it happens between the ears.
Mm-hmm.
How you think. When you think of genitals and genitalia or genesis or generation or genetics, it's really a part of the genetic makeup of the human being to be sexual. But it's difficult to be sexual without being instinctively sensual, to see, hear, touch, smell, feel, and to express and emote, that's energy in motion, to feel the energy of reproduction, if there is in the ultimate intelligence we call God a desire to reproduce itself, it has done that in us. If we were created in the image and likeness of divinity, then we are creative like we were created. And we're not only creative, we are creating. We're creating saliva, we're creating urine, we're creating semen, we're creating the bodily fluids and blood that makes us human beings. So we're always creating something biologically. We also do that psychologically. We do that in our minds. We're constantly creating something instinctively. It just happens innately. Excuse me. And so refusing to deny that and to enhance it and embrace it and to celebrate it is really a great aspect of human beings' indignity. You know, the word instinct is an innate, typically fixed pattern of behavior in animals and in humans, usually in response to certain stimuli. We instinctively have appetites, and an odor or smell or fragrance can stir that up. Same can do that sensually, can do that sexually. There are all kinds of stimuli. Some of that is love. Some of that is like. Some of that is just leisure, the pleasures of humanity. And when we talk about love, it is, in my opinion, the most selfish, self-centered, self-serving word in the English dialect and dialogue.
Yes.
We are serving our own pain. Love is a painful, caustic, costly, pathetic and prophetic, passionate, sacred, sullen, subtle. I mean, it's a crazy phenomenon that we all experience and express in various ways. So
yes.
When I say I love you, or as you've heard me say before, I'm saying I love the part of myself that I experience when I'm with you. When you're being intimate in sex, it's not just about serving your partner, it's also serving yourself. You want to get fulfilled, and you want to feel instinctively and innately one with that individual, really one with yourself in absolute splendor and pleasure, and that extravagant human expression that's called passion and love.
Yes.
Even the word, it's interesting, the word orgy, orgy comes from the word orge, which is the Greek word wrath. It's an impulsive.
Yeah, the Greek word what?
Wrath. Like we think that means anger. Uh-huh. The wrath of God is unveiled. Yeah, it's not a term of anger. It's a term of passion, that as in stretching forth. It's impulsively wanting and desiring so badly. And so we've turned that into being orgies, sexual and sensual, because there's a fine line between passion and anger and love. and orge and reaching out and impulse and compulsions and reaching and wanting, you know, it's part of the human nature. It's like an appetite. And that hasn't changed. It's just the permission to do and be that is kind of changing paradigmically. But the human desire for desire and desire for want and desire of want and desire to feel its best and most passionate expression is normal.
That'll
never end.
You know, things that you were saying just reminded me of what I was reading this morning in a book called The Three Magic Words, U.S. Anderson, and he talks about love being a selfish thing, and, you know, it's all about ourselves, it's all about us.
Yeah,
and
it is, because
I even say sometimes when we tell people, I love you, that we've been conditioned to wait for them to respond and say, I love you back.
Absolutely.
And if they don't, we're saying, I told you I love you. But my thing is, if you told them you love them, then love means to love. You're not attached. You allow them to be themselves. Really, when we wait for people to tell us they love us back, that's really conditional love.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If somebody we love doesn't, as you said, someone we love don't respond back, we're crushed, we're devastated. It's like, I said I love him, I said I love him, he didn't respond back. Well, that's condition.
So
a lot of confusion about this thing called love that we say we are. Let's try this. I want to ask you, how do you define sex? What is your definition of sex?
Excuse me. Passion. It's impulse. It's drive. It's emotion. We have all these other platitudes, but human sexuality is connected directly with human sensuality and human psychology and human sociology and human spirituality. You want social connection. You are naturally, sensually attracted to anything from a flower in a tree or a fountain to fondling. There's a sensual attraction to other human beings. That's why people like to, what we call, people watch. Just sit and watch human beings. Every size, every strata, walking, talking, sitting, laughing. You can sit for hours and just watch other humans and study them. And there's that social attraction to want to be with them. There's a spiritual attraction, which is this connectedness that's irresistible. And then, of course, there's the sexual aspect, which is to reproduce that expression and that experience.
Right.
We couldn't do it again if we didn't have the sexual. So the sexual, the sensual, the social, and the spiritual are all interrelated. The truest personal rituals is learning the proper harmony, a harmonizing of all those four aspects of yourself. And has a lot to do with thinking.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, I don't know if you caught what I read earlier about sexuality. I mean, even if we think of the word, it's almost like a combination of sex and spirituality. And I see sexuality as an expression of who we are that goes beyond the sexual act, that goes beyond, who someone is sleeping with or not.
Yeah.
And I think there's a confusion about that. It's really when we understand our sexuality, we understand ourselves. When we understand ourselves, we understand our sexuality. What's your take on that?
I agree 100%, because what happens is when we try to dissect and separate them and individualize them or compartmentalize them, they don't last long by themselves. Sexuality is struggling without sensuality. It cannot happen without spirituality and sociology. Now, there's an instinctive way that animals just have sex because they're going to procreate. As human beings, we tend to rationalize. We like to be selective, not about having sex, but with whom we have it. And then when you're really, really hungry, you don't worry about nutritional value. You don't worry about pesticides and enhancers.
Right.
You're just hungry. Especially if you're starving.
Just hungry. That's right.
That's why you can see people pulling food out of garbage cans. It's like, how could you ever? And I've seen it many, many times. A human being who's what they call a street person, you know, rummages through a trash can and pulls out a half of a hamburger or the leftover taco or a leftover chicken bone and nibbles on it. It's like, that guy's got to be really, really hungry. Well, we all get hungry. And we get hungry enough to pay $125 for one meal, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I've been around people that will spend $500 going out to eat,
You know, that seems absurd. So they're not really just hungry for the food. They're hungry for the fat, for the fellowship, for the fashion, for the class, for the ego to be stroked, the pride to be stroked, the arrogance to be there, and, you know, these highfalutin places and spaces that we all live in. So, again, these are human desires to be affirmed. And the whole situation with General Petraeus, power, choice, and opportunity are incredible aphrodisiacs. You know?
Yes.
And men are only 7% more likely to have affairs these days than women. 50% of the American populace confesses to have had affairs. And there's a 67% divorce rate in some cultures. Even in Tulsa, the buckle of the Bible Belt, where I lived for 40 years, they had a 67% divorce rate. In fact, you find in the more conservative areas of the country, there's a higher divorce rate than the more liberal areas. Because the more rules and rituals you have, the more the rules you make, the more rules you break.
That's right. That's right.
You
get very hungry.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You get very hungry.
Yeah.
And you, let me ask you this, because I was going to go to General Petraeus, and what did you observe? What did you see people saying that pained you or that made you go, wow, when are we going to get it, that made you really question humanity? Because people had a lot to say about it.
It was interesting how they made him unfaithful to his wife and made the women sluts. It's the way we categorize them. The women were all sleazy, slutty homebreakers, and the men were irresponsible husbands and fathers. Now, they didn't say the women were irresponsible wives because both of them were married.
Right.
But the man had to be responsible husband and father and general and leader. In his powerful position, he was made to look very weak and manipulative. It's like Samson, the weak, strong man in Scripture. But how the society, at least through the media, categorized the women, same with the senator that ran for president, Edwards, Senator Edwards, and his situation,
nice.
With the abuse of power, a person in a powerful position, and it's, you know, it's interesting that in the animal world, Ade, there is one bull and a bunch of heifers, one stallion and a bunch of mares, one rooster and a bunch of hens. There's the alpha male that gets his pick of the litter. Now, that's in the animal world. Subconsciously, in many males, there is that same sense of entitlement, that I can have any woman I want if I want, and if the opportunity presents itself, and still love my wife and family, and be directly, if not indirectly, faithful to it. I come home, I sleep with my wife, I take care of my kids, I pay the bills, but I have these affairs on the side. Now, in this day, women are doing that more than they would have done in the past. You know, but the roles are shifting. You have female doctors and female attorneys and female judges and congresswomen and senators. And women are filling the same, quote-unquote, masculine roles of power that men have for the first time in recent history. And so the switching of the roles, you have a whole bunch of women, what they call cougars. Now, it's been very common for a male to reach back 20 years and find a young girl, a lady. But now women are doing that, and they're getting by with it. It's actually a classy thing. It's like, boy, look at her. She's
right.
60 years old, and she makes, you know, $500,000 a year or more, and she has a 40-year-old boy toy. Now, that's not sexual. That's just a small part of it. It's power.
Right.
It's ego.
Yeah.
It's proud. There's ego and she-go. Women have ego, too. And it's hormones, testosterone,
right.
Estrogen. We have both. You know, the word hormone comes from a French word, hormone, that means impulse or assault or to stir up, to stir into. Testosterone, estrogen, those are steroids. They're reproductive and procreative and recreative in us. So all these chemicals are working in it. You know, you can walk into a room, and there can be a chemical response to a person you've never seen before in your life,
yes.
Don't know the name, and may never meet or speak to, but you can feel it across the room. You can go in a mall, walk through a mall.
Yes.
The chemistry, some of that is spiritual. You know, there's a connection as if you knew them in another life or were them in another life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why do I have this attraction to this human being? It could be male or female. It doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
You have the spiritual attraction, this chemistry. You could work with that person, work for that person. That person could work for you, and you never meet them. You just pass them and greet them and keep moving. And you can find that repetition. I have felt that in China. I felt it in Africa, all parts of Europe, every place I've been in the world. I've always had a chemical response to human beings. You can also sort of have that toward, almost toward a car or a home that you want to live in or are supposed to live in. You can see a flower and just have this flush and blush of emotion. It's so beautiful. Or see a little puppy. Now, this is the dynamics, the chemistry, the mystery, the complexities, if you will, of human beings being human. Now, to embrace that, to find a balance and a harmony in it, and to dignify it, as well as classify it, to identify it, and to embrace it, and make it elegant and eloquent, not be threatened by it, demeaned by it, or insulted by it, but to say, no, this is who I am. I embrace it. I create my own peace out of it. I'm going to interview myself. I'm going to create my own rituals of how I'm going to deal with all these aspects of my multi-complex being and become bridge my humanity to my divinity. That's the daily challenge of any human being.
Thanks.
And sexuality and sex is a part of that. But so is having a good, nutritious meal or a delicious meal. Sometimes it's delicious and not nutritious.
Right. No, that's right.
I heard you said, I've quoted you many times, I'm a meat-eating vegetarian.
That's what I am, a meat-eating vegetarian. That's right. I get
every once in a while, the spirit of neck bone jump on me. See, now I've got to have a neck bone.
I thought you were a vegetarian. Well, that's halfway there. I am a meat-eating vegetarian.
Yeah. I'm more tarian than veggie.
If you're joining us, you're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. And Bishop Carlton is my guest. Our topic is we're having a new conversation, a conversation about sex and sexuality, a new paradigm. The things we have to think about sex, sexuality differently, and something that Bishop just said, attraction. And I think there's a lot of, I don't know if it's confusion, but I don't know if we create a space for a conversation around attraction. You said, I mean, in this society, we think if there's an attraction, that means it's got, there's something about a sexual act that you want to go to bed with somebody. But attraction sometimes is a spiritual recognition. Love is attractive. Spirit is attractive. But there are people who feel guilty because they're married or in a relationship and they're attracted to somebody else. They feel guilty. They feel they're doing something bad because they're attracted to somebody else.
Right.
But just because we're attracted to someone or something you're in a relationship doesn't mean you shouldn't be attracted to somebody. I mean, if you're not attracted, then you're not alive. And,
there's a difference between admiring and desiring. They are interrelated, but you can admire. It's like being attracted to you have a car, but you might be attracted to another kind of car. You own the car you have. You pay your bills every month for the car, or if it's paid for, you gas it, you wash it, you drive it, and you own it. But there are other cars, or you can live in a different neighborhood or go to another neighborhood and actually admire the house. That's what you call window shopping. People admire things that they may not be able to afford and know they'll never have, or at least in their mind they think they'll never have. But I want to go see it anyway. You can look at somebody's physicality. If a guy comes in and he's buff, his abs and his biceps, and he's physically chiseled, and you got a belly and thighs. And you look at that person and say, wow, boy, what a beautiful body. Now, you admire that body, and you actually wish it was yours. You can admire it, then desire it. Now, that's a sensual attraction. To become one with that body sensually and sexually is a whole other expression, but they're very close. If two ladies are working out in the gym and one is trying to lose 25 pounds and one has already lost those 25 pounds and is maintaining that
waist and those hips, and she has lovely breasts and arms and legs and that. The other lady is looking at her admiringly, sensually attracted to her, wishing she had those abs or that waist or those thighs. She's admiring, and she may emulate and wish and ask her, how did you get this way? And then there's a chemistry that could be between them. And there's an emotional attack. What if both of them just went through a divorce? What if both of them had just been abandoned by some man, and they have children, and they have emotional brokenness, and they're doing this as an aversion to it, a diversion to it. So they're working out, and they start exchanging, sharing notes and comparing notes and sharing emotions and tenderness and delicate feelings. And they do that on, when we get through working out, let's go get a power drink, or let's go have something to eat. Let's just go have a drink and keep talking because we relate to each other. Now, that can become sexual, maybe years down the road, months, weeks, or moments. That's human nature. Because it's not just the legs, between the legs, it's between the ears, how you're thinking. Then there's the chemistry, there's the emotion, there's the connectedness, there's the story. Now, that's the new paradigm that culture is having to say, okay, let's stop and reconsider. Things are really happening strangely now. We would never admit these things before. We would never allow ourselves to go there. When I was a little boy, we used to sing the song, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a father up above looking down with tender love who will pull you to hell if you sing the wrong thing. So be careful, little eyes, if you see. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little feet, where you go. All that stuff, we heard it. There's a father up above looking down with tender love who will also kill your tail if you mess up. That's we didn't say that part, but that's the in between the lines. Mm-hmm. Now people are saying, you know what? God ain't poor no more. I don't have to be poor. So I'm going to go drive in another neighborhood and look at a fine mansion and admire it. And now we're talking about mapping and imaging and hanging up pictures of jets or homes or boats or jet skis or pretty bodies or pretty people on the wall. And those are the images we keep thinking. We repeat these mantras in Science of Mind and Expanded Consciousness and New Thought and the Power of Attraction. That whole series has shifted the consciousness of the planet in modern times. People are saying, wait a minute, I can be better. I want to be a doctor, an attorney. I want to be a minister. I want to be a dentist. I want to be a senator, a congressman. I want to be a millionaire. I'm imagining this. I want to have a body that looks like that. I want to have a partner that looks like that. And so people are getting a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more curious, a little bit more adventurous, a little bit more experimental. And that's the new day. And now the culture is saying, you know what? We're not sure about it, but go ahead. I'm not sure I'd do that, but go ahead. Right. I wish you wouldn't do that, but what the heck? Go ahead.
Right.
Because what you fight, you ignite and invite. All this pushing against gay marriage and look, they've taken over. All this pushing against pot, they're starting to legalize. All this prohibition against alcohol, I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just a reality. People, eventually, they will legalize pot. Eventually, every state will sanction same-sex marriage. Eventually, the woman's right to control her body is going to be more widely accepted globally, beginning right here in the United States. And anything you fight, you continue to invite. When you relax it, it relaxes. What you make the issue, you make the idol. I accept the fact that I am sensual, sexual, social, and spiritual. I celebrate, not tolerate. I celebrate all of it, and I don't have to separate. I celebrate all of those aspects of and traits of my humanity, and I recognize the divinity in all of them, and the design in all of them, and I'm not intimidated by any of them, or any one of them. I just say this is what it is and this is what I am. Now let's work together. I'm married. I have two children. Are not other women attractive to me or attracted to me? Of course. That's human. I have two wonderful children. I could have six and be happy. I don't know. Let me take that back.
he said, wait
let me
rethink
that
then.
One, yeah.
He's like, hold on a minute.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Let it go now. That's too philosophical. But I did want six. my mom and dad had six. Actually, she birthed seven. My wife's mother had nine children.
Mm, wow.
And we both came from impoverished backgrounds of lack and certain aspects of limitation. And so we have two children, one's 18, one's 16, and they are, you know, enough for us to handle. We have a lovely home. We have a car. But there are other homes we would desire and could desire and would enjoy, you know. We're free. My wife says she likes a Nicolas Cage. And I said, I don't mind you liking Nicolas Cage as long as he stay in that cage. See?
No, that's right. If he comes out, he's going to get tranquilized.
Right. Right. And we can be walking together, and we'll say, she'll say, that's a good-looking man. I said, look at that gorgeous lady. That doesn't offend her or upset her, you know?
You know, I'm grateful for you because you've addressed a lot of the questions that I'm going to ask you about what kind of questions should we be asking ourselves now, what kind of conversation should we be having, and you've covered that. Well, I got some questions from listeners, and once I get this grateful laptop, this wonderful laptop that I have, I can't wait. I'm just thankful for you, help my show move smoothly, and but I want to drop it down a little bit, and as I get ready to pull up some of these questions, what kind of conversation should we be having with our children, our young people, about sex and sexuality?
Well, I started having them with mine when they were like 10 and 11 and 12. When my son got ready to go into high school, we talked about the development of his body, the changes he would feel, his new renewed attraction to girls sexually, not just sensually and socially, but there would be that, and that the guys would be drinking. We were in Oklahoma at the time, that they drink beer and drive trucks and screw's the terminology. And he had been in private schools most of their lives, and so now they're going to go into this more diverse culture. And we talked about the changes in his body as an adolescent and what would happen, and we had some open, engaging conversation. We even had a conversation about weed, because he was around kids that were experimenting with that, and I know he probably would or did or thought about it or talked about it. I knew he would. I talked about to him about using protection. I said, now, son, I'd rather you remain abstinent until you're married, but you're going to be tempted not to, and chances are if you have intimacy with a young lady, please use protection. Now, that's for me to say that to my son, that's totally different than the way I was raised. I would have said, we do not have sex outside of marriage, and if you do, may God strike you down, you know that kind of thing, and put fear in him, what we call the fear of God, and we shouldn't have fear of God anyway, but we put the fear of God. I put the fear of God in my children. Well, I didn't do it that way. I talked to him about masturbation, of how he would feel about his body, how he would love his body, and how he would respect his body, and how he would deal with intimacy and intimate thoughts. And that mind-altering drugs are there, and we live in a day when it's hard to not be confronted with it at some point, whether that's alcohol or pot. So I wasn't giving him freedom to do it, instructions to do it, but I also gave him freedom to know that his body and mind and emotions would respond to those kind of inclinations, and he would have to decide how to handle his reactions or responses. But that I knew, I didn't want, I said I wanted to be free to talk to me about anything and anybody. Even if one of them had have come to me and had same gender attractions, I wanted them to feel free to discuss that with me. Because these kids today are experimenting everything, you know, especially when they get high.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You got teenagers. We had a little 16. My daughter had her sweet 16 birthday party here, and I would have been here. I was planning to be here, but I had to go to D.C. to do something with Aretha Franklin, and I didn't want to turn that down. My daughter said, "Oh, please go, Daddy. This is because she's been with me once when we did Radio City Hall with her." So my wife was here, but we had chaperones. I actually had security. I hired security, but those kids were doing. My wife was texting me during the party, telling me the kinds of dances they were doing, where they toss each other and hold each other, were getting on the floor. And I remember back in the 60s, we were doing the dog and the grind when we danced. I said, babe, remember, the dog was in the 60s. Do the dog. Do. And then grind, what they call grinding, when you push your body against the girl's body and slow dance.
Right.
I said, so that there's nothing new about that. But she had to stop some of the dances or make
right.
them back on because they were 16-year-old kids. Now,
right.
six is the number of sex. Say on the sixth day. So those kids' hormones, and that just means impulse, drive.
Mm.
They're stirred up.
Yeah.
And so how do you, these raging hormones, how do you deal with them? You deal with them with dignity and with delicacy. And don't, if you fight it, you invite it. So we had to deal with that very gently and talk to my daughter about it. And I did. You know, I remember when I was 16, 14, 12, I was kissing girls, you know,
and
looking at them. And, at, you know, I don't remember a time. I remember the first time I got turned on with a girl was during what they call civil defense. In California, every once in a while, there would be every sometimes during the school year, they'd have this civil defense bell. We'd have to get under our desk. And I think I was probably in the first grade. And I remember the girl's name, and I saw her little panties, and I got turned on it in the first freaking grade. I couldn't believe it. I'm a first grader, and the little girl got under the desk. All the kids got under their desk. I happened to see her name is Connie. I saw her panties. And I didn't know what was going on, but it was beautiful. So, see?
She's thinking, we have this happen every day.
What in the world? What? So, here I am, 5 or 6 years old.
Right.
Now, I have to confront that reality. So, when somebody's 16, who knows?
Right. Exactly. And I like what you said about talking with them. And now, as parents, if there's something about what they're doing is uncomfortable, even if you've done it before, it's important to address it, not ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist, but being able to have a real conversation. It's like, you know, it's uncomfortable. The child might say, but you did it when you were younger. Did you do something like that? But if we can just educate ourselves to have authentic conversations, and it doesn't mean we tell them everything, age appropriate, of course. But there's so many places I want to go, but we don't have the time. But what I want to do, Bishop Carlton, before, I want to take this call. We got Rochelle calling from Detroit, and Rochelle had an abortion, and she's feeling guilt. Hey, Rochelle, how are you doing?
Hello. Hello. Dr. Pearson?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Hi, dog.
I always enjoy hearing you and seeing you on YouTube, and ever since you made your conversion to the, I guess, the open Christianity or whatever you call it. I'm not, okay.
Expanded consciousness, I call it.
Expanded consciousness, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever you call it, I like it.
I like open Christianity, too, though.
Yes. Oh, I know, right?
And so I really enjoy your teachings. I struggle back and forth with it because I grew up in a Baptist church, and my father was a pastor. So know how I feel.
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So, but I had an abortion about 4 years ago, and I still feel the guilt from it. And sometimes I struggle with, man, if it hadn't have been legal, then I wouldn't have had it. Then I wouldn't be dealing with this guilt. You know, but then I go back and forth, and I still feel bad about it. And I'm at the age where I don't know if I'm going to have children. I'm 45, and so I'm like, I miss the opportunities instead of having the child. So, and I hurt the man who wanted me to have the child. I just didn't want to.
The responsibility. How old were you?
At the time, I was 40, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm feeling even double guilt. I'm like, I wait till I'm, you know, in my 40s to have an abortion. And, you know, it's almost like at the cusp of, you know, it's like you're not really going to have no more kids. You know, I don't have any children.
Of course.
But at the time, it was just a bad time. I didn't have any money. I was laid off, looking at debts out of out of this world, and the guy didn't have any money, which was, you know, a bad decision on my part. But so here we are, you know, 5 years later, and I'm still feeling bad about it.
Well, that's normal, sweetheart. You may feel emotions about it. If you have loved ones who died or transitioned 20 years ago, my grandmother died of cancer in 1964, and I still have emotions about it. And God, the God that our parents taught us to love, could have healed her. She was only 53. Sometimes there are stillbirths. It's almost like the universe aborted that child. Why was the baby born dead? We don't know what that child averted by not being here. But you don't need to feel bad about feeling, and that's a relative term, bad about it. There's no good or bad, right or wrong, as much as there are choices and decisions with consequences. There's a sequence or sequel to every choice we make. You may have freed that precious spirit from who knows what kind of calamity it would have had had it lived. And it is back, most of us are taught that it goes back to the ultimate reality we call God. And as painful and as criminal as you sense, and I understand those feelings 100%. They're natural, they're normal, you'll have to work and walk through them, and you can't deny the pain, but you can detach yourself from it. And don't, and just remember, sweetheart, you're not what happened to you. You are what you choose to become. Experience is not only what happens to us, it's what we do with what happens to us. Because life doesn't just happen to us. It happens through us. And it happens as us. Life, in fact, is us. You are even that you would have the virtue to think of the choices you make and to reevaluate them says that you're a woman of character. And, of course, based on the way you were raised, there's a certain sense of guilt and criminality that people who are raised like us feel. We just have to work around it and walk and work through those feelings to freedom. Here's your chance to confront a perception that you have. And perception is the ultimate reality, but not necessarily the ultimate truth. How you perceive yourself in relationship to that experience with the gentleman and with the child, and how you interpret that perception will determine how you respond to it chemically. So reconsider what you believe, why you believe it, how those beliefs add to or subtract from the quality of your life. And when you change the way you look at things, as Wayne Dyer would say, the things you look at change. See it this way. Maybe you relieved as pitiful and painful and legal or illegal as the experience was for you. Maybe you protected that. And, you know, we are taught that all things ultimately work together, if not immediately. Right. They ultimately work together for good, for God.
Yeah.
And you love God and you love yourself. But it's hard to like yourself because you're now saying, you're pronouncing verdict and sentence on you. You were irresponsible. You shouldn't have had sex outside of marriage in the first place. You ain't had no money.
Right.
Then you fool around here and get pregnant. You ain't nothing but a sinner and a slut. You know, so all that stuff comes to your mind.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's what the guy, you know, he told me, you know, he was like, you know, we were raised a certain way. How could you do that? You know, and he called me a baby killer. And just every time we would get into an argument, periodically he would bring it up. So ultimately I had to end the relationship because I couldn't deal with that anymore. And so I'm carrying around that guilt, you know, of it just messed up somebody else's life, you know. More so, I think I feel bad more so about how it affected him, really, than how it affects me.
Well, I understand his feeling. I mean, truly, as a man, especially if you don't have children, here's your chance. We can work something out, baby. This is my baby. This is my seat. It ain't just your decision.
Right.
It's our decision.
Right, right.
But when you bring in the guilt part, committing fornication, if you're going to use that balance,
right. Yeah.
Or adultery, or having sex outside of marriage, or being promiscuous, why would that sin be worse, quote-unquote sin, be worse than another sin? So if you're going to go religious, then you got to go all the way. If you're not going to go religious, then you got to relax and relinquish all of that, including the sense of guilt.
Right. And see, that's where I was with it, but he kept pulling me back, you know, to the other side. You know, because he had a child. He has a child already, you know. And I just was like, well,
Yeah, and you know, Bishop, and that's what Bishop Rochelle, what Bishop is telling you is like, you know, you're saying you're worried about what pain you caused him, but in truth, you never really know his pain. The pain you're really sure about is your pain, and what Bishop is sharing with you is looking at the stories, that how you are convicting yourself every day for what you did.
Right.
And Bishop, don't you think a forgiveness process will be good for her to actually forgive herself?
Yes.
So that
yes.
she can move on, because she is judging what she did, that what she did was wrong, and she literally got herself locked up in jail, and every day she got to lock herself back up.
You pronounce verdict and sentence. That's called bitter root judgments. And you start making declarative statements within that I'll never do that again. I'll never be trust a man again. I don't trust me anymore. I don't like me. You actually invite judgment on yourself, which kind of manifests itself in sickness. When you feel like you deserve hell or punishment or some punitive act of God, or you should feel guilty because you did a terrible thing, that's self-judgment, and it can be reproductive. So they was made a very important point. Forgiving yourself, meaning that I like the way Oprah says it, that you could not go back and change what happened. Nothing you can say or do will change what happened. So you go back to the situation, and you extract not the memory, but the lie embedded in the memory that you are a bad person or that you did a bad thing. No, you made a choice. And there are sequences and sequels to that choice. Accept, own it, honor it, and release it. The baby is with God, whatever that means. The baby is in the farthest reaches and rhythms and regions of consciousness, very much alive, and may be manifesting in another way, even on earth.
Indeed. And God's love for you before you had before you were pregnant, conceived, and during the abortion and after is still the same. So set yourself free and love you, because God ain't judging you. You can just really give yourself the opportunity to really feel the love that you desire for yourself. And forgiveness is a way to get you there. So,
and how responsible you were to say, I can't take care of this baby. He can't. He may not be taking care of his other babies. You know?
I was like, wait a minute, I barely can take care of me right now. He can't take care of himself. So why, you know, invoke and bring an unhappy child into the world with two unhappy children?
And the thing that we men go through is a woman physically for 9 months, emotionally, biologically, and anatomically goes through trauma. We could be screwing another woman, excuse that terminology, or doing something down the road.
Exactly.
And you got to carry that and then take care of that baby for 18 years at least. So the responsibility, and I'm not justifying any act of abortion, but sometimes it is the best thing for the child and you. If you cannot handle the responsibility, especially in the first trimester, if you cannot handle the responsibility, why bring a baby into this world to the trauma and drama that it's going to face in a situation that is awkward and uncomfortable? Sometimes the best thing is to terminate a pregnancy in the early stages. I'd rather you in the later stages of the pregnancy that you have the baby and adopt it out. I think that's the more responsible thing to do. But when you can stop it early and before it really has formed into a lot, sure, there's a spirit, but spirit is spirit. You can't kill spirit. It's ageless and timeless. The physicality can be ended, you know.
Right.
And so it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of soul food, a lot of things to just listen to. I suggest you listen to the show again and actually become an active participant of your own healing. And that will take care of yourself. Thank you, Rochelle, for calling. We appreciate you for sharing your story.
We're praying for you, sweetheart. Bless you.
Yes, indeed.
I love you.
Love you, Jenny. Thanks.
Yes. Did you hear that love? Yeah. When she said, I love you, and we send that love right back to you. Yes, I mean, it came deep. Yes, Bishop, we're going to take a quick break because we've been going on for a while, and I'm finding my balance. So all is well. We're moving through this. We're going to take a break. Give you a chance to drink some water and everything.
All right.
And we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Celestial Moment. There's a question that I got to ask you. We've got a lot of questions. I don't know. We'll get to as many as we can. But there is one here, which actually I'm going to just read it now. And I think there's a movie out about something similar to this. And the question, and we can answer this when we come back, Bishop. The question is, Celeste sent it to me. He said, a listener's brother has brain injury, and it was recommended by an expert that men who have brain injuries utilize pornography, telephone sex, and prostitution since they are not able to have normal relationships. I am concerned about the psychological makeup of women in this arena. Somebody's grinding something. Someone in the background. It sounds like there's a background noise. And the listener said, I am concerned about the psychological makeup of women in this arena and the psychology of men who engage in these activities becoming abusive. I don't want to be around that kind of energy or want my brother around it either. Is my perspective out of line here in our society or as it exists today? We can talk about it when we come back because there's a lot in there that we request us to break it down. There's so much in there. Let's just we'll tackle that when we come back. The number 347-426-3346. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back, and my computer is smiling back at me, and I'm giving my computer a come here. I love you. I just love it when you help me just get my show flowing easily. Oh, you're the best. I'm so grateful for you. Right now, I'm having an attraction for my laptop. It's a spiritual thing. You know
life conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
That's right.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Indeed. The best way to change your life is to be the change you want to see. Don't be part of the judgment. And even if you're judging yourself, find a place to love yourself while you're being judgmental. Love is a good
life. Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Maybe you're right.
Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media, from my friends.
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is.
So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex. Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations Radio. Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
Indeed, you're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. We are here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. All the shows are archived, so you never go a day without Life Coach Ade. That's right. Even if you listen for the first time, make sure you listen again and come back. Let's move through this, and I'm grateful to stay a little bit longer so we can get through the question. Let's, what we want to do now, we want to go to, we're going to Celeste. I feel rushed because I got a lot of questions. Some of the questions, I just want to slap some of the sisters. But anyway, but we're going to deal with the one that I read before. Yeah, that one, is, that requires more. But some of the other questions, like, are you serious? But there's nothing we can't handle. Ladies always want to know a lot of different things. So we Bishop and I are here to enlighten you. No, don't laugh after that. It's the truth. That's what we do. We're the bringer of light. And so are you. Celeste, how are you doing, my friend?
Hello, Life Coach Ade. And you know what? I want to help you get out of some water real quick.
Okay.
You would never slap a sister at all. You would hug her with love. And you would say,
come on,
baby girl. Come on, man. Now, let's get that straight right now. Not in a million years.
I don't need to misrepresent myself and start fronting, right?
Not at all. Oh, my goodness. I was like, what'd he say? And I'm coming through loud and clear. Mm-mm, not my brother. And if anybody ever told me that, I'd say you a lie, and I'm done. Hello, Bishop. How you doing?
Hello, Celeste. I'm doing well. Thank you for that kind instruction.
I know that's right. Thank God for the females. We need them.
No, not my brother. I'm so clear. But I do know about those questions, and they are real. I can't wait till y'all get to it. But I have to thank Bishop, because, Bishop, I love numbers. You know that about me, the way you play with words and numbers and where things came from. I come from the same school as you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you broke down that sixth, we did six yesterday, and when you brought in the sixth day of creation, I went, oh, my goodness, does Bishop know that Venus is the ruler of six? Connections. And see, we did that yesterday. Hello. So I just want to thank you for that. And we're going to move right into it because I know there are so many people who are waiting for these answers.
Let me add one thing, Celeste. You brought up Venus. Did you know that the word venerable and the word venereal comes from that term, Venus?
Wow.
In Roman religion, she was a sex goddess or a goddess of romance and love and all that stuff. But it was part of, and the reference in Romans to what people think is homosexuality or human sexuality is a reference to idolizing genitalia rather than genesis, or associating that life just didn't start in the spiritual genesis but in the physical genitalia. And so worshiping the goddess involved orgies or temple priests and priestesses. So you could have said the venerable bishop or the venereal bishop, and both terms would have been honorable out of that religion. Isn't that something?
Now, for this. Now, you know that V is a 22, which is a master number. Where is all this power coming from? When we unlock the numbers and the word, we need to talk. But we knew that.
This is powerful. Yeah, numbers are important. Numerology is powerful. I agree.
Oh, my goodness. But thank you for that piece around Venus, because that's my ruling planet. I'm done.
Oh, we're going to pray your strength in the Lord, honey.
No, that's right.
Celestial and Venus. Oh, wow. You're way up there, girl.
She's so hard. See why I'm around her? She keeps me in check.
Yeah.
She helps
we need
stay grounded.
All
oh,
right.
My goodness. I'll be checking out Streaming Consciousness this week, too. Oh, my
yes,
goodness.
Yes, we're
going
to have to talk about
all.
Some of this. Yes,
oh,
thank
I can't
you.
Wait.
BishopPearson.com. Anybody can do Streaming Consciousness live Thursday night, 8:30 to 9:30 CST, Central Standard Time. Or you can go to the archive and listen to others. So that's very interesting, Celeste.
Oh, thank you so much. And I have more for you. Hello, listening family on the phones, in the chat room. So glad you could be with us today. Good afternoon. My name is Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day equals 7. The number 7 is ruled by the planet Neptune. It's considered to be a highly spiritual number with introverted qualities. It's the number of perfection, security, safety, and rest. In the New Testament, We have a multiplication story of feeding the masses with 7 loaves and a fish. We have 7 days of the week. There are 7 chakras. The 7th chakra is the crown chakra, and this energy center connects us to the divine. And I just learned from one of our beautiful listeners that 7 shows up in the Mayan oracle deck as mystical power. 7 also belongs to an African Orisha by the name of Yemaja, and she is the life-giving portion of the ocean, the mother of the waters. The 7th letter of the alphabet is G, and words like grace, guidance, and gift connect us to the divine power of 7. Now, 7 also shows up as the chariot in tarot, and that's where we're going to put our spotlight today. The chariot is astrologically associated with the sign of Cancer, representing mother love. In tarot, the chariot is the beginning of the individuation process. That's when you stop giving away your personal power and stand in strength by being yourself. The chariot relates to the way you animate yourself. It's actually how you harness your energy when you walk the world, your personality, your speech, your presentation. You have control over how you show up. All of you dancing in harmony between the invisible and visible world is the gift of the chariot with the guiding energy of a loving mother. In traditional tarot, you will find a hero being driven by a black horse and a white horse, the black yin and the white yang, receptivity and activity, the feminine and the masculine. The duality of oneness is at play when you learn how to take the reins, or in some cases, to let go and trust the flow. The moment for this card is a victory, for you have mastered some great internal battle. You find your home in the middle way. You are safe. You are invited to welcome evolution as you continue onward, creating new paradigms that speak to your authentic truth of who you are and how you want to express yourself in all areas of your life, mentally, physically, emotionally, sexually, and spiritually. You get to decide. And that's the story of 7 through the Chariot of Tarot. All is well. I'll see you around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, we're going to move on and see how many questions we can get to, but we've got to address, get to Tracy's question. Yep, and yes, and there's something you need to do right now.
I understand.
So. Yes, go ahead and go, yes. All right. Talk to you later. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Today we're talking about a new paradigm on sex and sexuality with Bishop Carlton Pearson. His website address is, as you said earlier, bishoppearson.com. BishopPearson.com. You can find out all that he's doing, his Stream of Consciousness Network, and all the great work that he's doing in travels and everything. So we're getting ready to address Tracy's question, and then we've got some other questions. Hopefully we'll get to as many as we can. So anyway, we are going to, let's turn down Destiny, the Harvest. From the Herd. Destiny Muhammad. It's a beautiful song, actually. And, Bishop, just in case you're wondering. Bring him back on! So we're going to pull him back in.
My faith.
And
all you will ever need. All you'll ever thank you.
you down. You can't cheat or live those lies. Shadows must give way to the light. When your mind is full of unnecessary thoughts and the world is pulling you down, lift your head up high, get your chin up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the light. When your heart is full with the clutter of your life and the rain is falling all around, hold your head up high, take your feet up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the
Bishop is going to be back and we're standing in the light, so we can just embrace it all and trust the process. Interesting energy today. He's calling back. I just spoke to him. Well, that's fine, Celeste. You did what you needed to do. I knew you knew what to do. I'm talking to Celeste. I'm having a side conversation. So when you said you didn't know what to do, I have to do something else. But Bishop is calling because I really want us to address this question that Tracy did send in. It's a interesting question, powerful. Well, it's yeah, where is it? Let me pull it back up. We won't get to the others. One of the questions that I was laughing at was, do guys care if girls look ashy? Yes, we do. I'm not even going to debate that. Okay, let me just bring Bishop so we can address the question that we read earlier. Welcome back, Bishop.
I'm sorry. I thought I had slipped in. I was eavesdropping on Celeste. It was such beautiful admonition she was giving, so I thought we were through. I'm sorry.
No, sorry about that. It's all good. So, okay, we're just going to do one question. We have a lot, but and those of you who are listening on or listening online, because I really want to address this question that we read before the break. Anyway, stay in the present. If you really want to hear and you don't want to miss out, I invite you to call in 347-426-3346. Call in now. Don't wait till the end because we may go a little bit over when Bishop is answering the question. But if not, it will be in the archive, so you can come back and listen to the archive. So, Bishop, real quick, let's go in here. The question was, a listener's brother has a brain injury, and it was recommended by an expert that men who have brain injuries utilize pornography, telephone sex, and prostitution since they are not able to have normal relationship. And the listener said, I am concerned about the psychological makeup of women in this arena and the psychology of men who engage in this activity and becoming abusive. I don't want to be around that kind of energy or want my brother around it either. Is my perspective out of alignment? Is it out of line here in our society as it exists today? So the question is my perspective out of line here in our society as it is today? The idea of recommending pornography, telephone sex, and I think she says that anybody around that, their psychology would lead to being abusive. And so anyway, I'll throw it over to you.
Well, I would have more questions about the condition of her brother. Is he physically incapacitated? Is he mentally incapacitated? To what extent is his invalid? I don't think he's an invalid. He just has a brain injury, I suppose. But I don't know what extent that is, and I don't know that I would have recommended any of those things. But if he has normal sexual needs and cannot have a normal relationship, and he may need that kind of stimulation, to cause his instinctive responses. I'm not personally bothered by that. But the negativity right. around, or the energy around people who are overtly and overly promiscuous in that particular era of human expression can be detrimental if you see it that way. That may be a bit of a overreaction to her, but I can understand in certain moral mentalities that's just nasty. That's just, that sort of whole unclean thing. But I would want to know how the guy is. What is he thinking? There are other ways to stimulate the mind. That doesn't meet a physical need. There are other ways, though, to keep the person physically and mentally active through reading or movies, humor, their action flicks. There's a lot of things to help a person who has been injured stay alert and alive and aware. Regarding his if he has normal sexual needs, even with the injuries, then and there's no other way to get those needs met or get the release that he needs, it might not be phone sex and all that kind of thing. That seems a little bit extreme. Right. if he needs to visuals, and there are millions and millions of people, the industry is off the chain. I mean, so many people use pornography on the internet and on television. They hire stuff and buy stuff. I mean, it's just everywhere. It's the Greek word pornia, for fornication. But it also can be interpreted as funication, N-F-U-N, because some people need fun. And if it makes him feel more valid as a human being since he is incapacitated in most other areas, I don't know that that's necessarily detrimental. And it's more for him than for her. If she's concerned about him and him as a male, as a human being with certain needs, it would be good to, she can use other opinions and not just that particular experts, because there are other experts who would probably advise something different. And she should try several opinions and then respond to the one that fits the situation best for both of them.
That is such a great answer, because in her question, as you pointed out, I mean, even though an expert recommended that her brother utilize pornography, from the question, it's more about her feelings about those things. It's like the psychology of women.
Not
in
about
the arena
him,
or
her. Yeah.
It's not even about, because I don't hear her asking if that would actually help or maybe, how she should go about doing it. It's more about her perspective, perception of the people who do this. And for me, I see it as an opportunity for her to look at her beliefs about prostitution and pornography, and it's just all of it is belief and social conditioning, social taboos,
there's a fear aspect there that I'm noticing, that it's almost panicky. I appreciate her concern, but why do you fear that, and how those fears can cause physical and chemical reactions in her body or psychological based on the way she looks at things? And I always repeat Wayne's statement, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. It's interesting that there are preachers and scientists and doctors and police who have engaged, my years of counseling, in various aspects of pornography, and it doesn't seem to hinder their ability to do their jobs, even in the pulpit or on the police force, but it does affect their psyche because of their feelings about extramarital affairs or promiscuity or fornication or the religious mores of immorality or morality.
Yes.
So sometimes it's based on conditioned thinking. And we project our fears and our flounderings on other human beings who may not have the same issues. So that's something to investigate and to ask yourself, well, why is this bothering you? And you said negative energy. It's negative energy if you make it negative energy. And because to some people say, I don't want to go to no church. I don't want all that negative energy and judgment. I don't want to be around no religious people. I've heard those same kind of statements for the same kind of reasons. So if you perceive something as negative, then it is to you that. So sometimes you're in a situation that's where there's perceived negativity all around you. Well, you must embrace the conflict and use your power to create your own peace in the midst of that situation, because some people are in marriages that are deadly and negative. And they sleep with people that are struggling with drugs or alcohol or pornography or extramarital things or all these things we call sin in our religious presuppositions. And I know godly people, if you know what I mean when I say the term, use that terminology, who live in situations of substance abuse, verbal, psychological abuse, poverty, and they live in horrible situations, and they somehow adjust they still go to church, or they still go to their temple or their mosque, or their, or they still have their times of meditation, but they're committed to their children and really committed to a marriage that's unhappy. It's just strange situations, but people are in them, and they manage them the best way they can.
Indeed. And that's, yeah, so in a nutshell, no, you're not out of line. This is just an opportunity for you to look at your own perspective, as you put it, and so you can help your brother. And, yeah, it's an opportunity for you to look at what you believe and then continue, you know, your spirit be your guide. So, Bishop, before you go, you've talked a little bit about the your Stream Consciousness Network. Can you give us a little bit about it so listeners can find out more and how they can participate, what days does it stream, and all other good stuff?
Well, if you just go to bishoppearson.com, that's the new Streaming Consciousness site that we have devised, and we have people from all over the world who tune in. And I'm noticing what I call Metacostals and Unicostals, people from various religious backgrounds, or many even fundamentalist Pentecostals are now embracing, looking, and leaning toward expanded consciousness. Many ministers, we're establishing a network of ministers who are ready to expand their consciousness, but they still pastor various types of churches, and they have credentials within those churches. But if they lose their credentials, then we will re-credential them. But it's people who want to be more progressive and who want to talk about delicate issues, sensitive issues, sometimes controversial issues, as we've discussed this morning with you, Ade, but want to do it in a safe environment and participate in what we believe is a growing movement globally of people who are rethinking what they believe and why they believe it. So every Thursday night live from 8:30 to 9:30 CST, Central Standard Time, I go on with a live, sometimes it's current events, we dealt with the Petraeus thing, we deal with sexuality, we deal with spirituality, we deal with sociality, whatever, the theology, all the logics that are out there. And then I have them archived, and we have ebooks that you can download in a magazine, and we have a new calendar coming out. Michael Beckwith, Dr. Barbara King is going to be on it, Bishop Yvette Flunder from San Francisco. There will have pages, and I've got one that's already available. Just I'm trying to reach a much larger audience through cyber than I do behind or sometimes limited by four church walls.
Right.
So
we
want to accommodate a movement that's already happening, and we just want to be there for those who are ready to make the leap and help do a little midwifery.
Yeah, no, that's right, in the birthing process, because it can be painful sometimes, painful and messy.
Right.
When next you coming to Atlanta?
I will be there the second Sunday in December, I think. I don't know the exact date, but not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday, I'll be at Hillside. We're doing this wonderful thing
Sunday
on a Monday.
December?
Yes.
So that will be the 9th, right?
Yes, sir, I'm there
the
on
ninth.
The 9th. Yeah,
okay.
I got it on my calendar.
And next month, if your schedule, I don't know if we schedule anything with Michelle, if you're coming back here, I really would want us to talk about, it's funny because we talked about spiritual romance last time, and now we're talking about sex and sexuality. And the questions that I got from the lady, well, most of the questions I got that was emailed in were from females, and it's about relationship with men, and one of the questions, we can talk about that. But what I really want to say is maybe next month we can talk about your take on relationship from the perspective of men and what men need to understand about themselves, what women need to understand about themselves, coming from the book you wrote. What's the name of that book you wrote many years ago that you used at Hillside Field Month that I really just loved it, the things that you said, gems.
Is There a Man in the House?
Is There a Man in the House?
Yeah,
because there's a lot of question here is about, okay, so somebody said, is there a particular reason that men talk to my breasts when they meet me? I don't talk to their crotch. Now, there's one is saying, you know, how do guys really feel about girls who have sex on the first date? Is it a deal breaker? Well, maybe not for the guy the first night, but anyway. But there seems to be all these females want to understand men. So if we haven't scheduled a time and we do and you can come next month, I want us to go that direction because it seems like ladies want to understand men. And you have a unique, powerful, inspiring way for us to really see ourselves. And I say us as in men to see themselves really and females to see their husbands, their mates, or people they work with. And I think it's just needed.
Yeah, so, you're right. I just got an email today about people who want to talk about marriage and really. My wife and I are going to do a special program on our site in the month of February. All month, we're just going to deal with relationships and the woman's perspective, the man's perspective, and my perspective, which is always right. So anyway, you didn't catch that.
You might. I did. I pay attention. I let people multitasking, but I'm not even touching that.
No, leave that alone.
Because I honor and embrace the feminine energy, and I know how powerful it is. Because somehow they're like, what happened to Bishop? He hasn't been here for past few months. Well, he said it was right, and I agreed with him. I think that's what happened. The powerful woman. Thank you. Thank you so much, Bishop. And thank you for riding with us through this up and down that's happened today. Just interesting, crazy energy, and thank you for staying longer than the agreed time as well.
Love being with you all day. Love your audience. Love their thoughts. Wish I could have time to deal with more of their questions, because I have them too. And sometimes while I'm answering a question, I'm actually responding to my own. So it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Let's keep this going.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Bishop Carlton. Thank you.
See you Thursday night.
Yes, indeed, Streams of Consciousness. And you can find out more information on bishoppearson.com. Bishoppearson.com. Ah, wow, what a ride. Oh, my God. Never mind. Just be here. Well, in the background, I might play it. I might start it from the beginning. But I'm playing Everything Must Change by Bishop Carlton. You can go get yourself a copy MP3 file of the song. Now, I'm just going to start from the beginning because the words are important. Let me just stop it right now. Okay, Bishop, hold on 1 second. I'm ready for you, but let me finish what I'm saying. I was getting excited. I brought you on too early. But, wow, thank you, listeners, for sticking with us, the beginning and the end. And I don't know, but we just trust the process. This is a rehearsal for the new change. So it's not about how powerful you are, but how can you move with the now? How can you move with what's happening now? I just want to let you know that I love you, I bless you, I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. And, check out more about Bishop Pearson by going to his website, bishoppearson.com. He's on Facebook. He's got a group on there. The personal site, you can't friend him anymore because he's just that popular. When I grew up, I want to be like him. I'm halfway there. I have 2,200 and something. I'm almost like him. Nah, let me just be like me, because that's enough already. So anyway, just be love. It is the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. You deserve it. It's a gift to you. And just as important, allow this beautiful thing called love that you are to flow in and out of you and be loved. I will see you tomorrow for Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson. We're talking about being the light and shining the light on the past so we can create a different future. This is Bishop Carlton. Everything must change. I don't care if you hold on. I don't care about your religion. I don't care about your belief system. Everything must change. So you just better let go and let it be. Bishop Carlton, everything must change. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings. And thank you for who you are being on the planet. Peace in.
Albert Einstein
everything
said,
must change.
No problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it. We must see the world anew. When we apply this quote to our lives, we see that we cannot create abundance by staying in the consciousness of poverty. Nor can we gain a sense of power in our lives while identifying with ourselves as a victim. And whether our intention is to change ourselves or some element of the world around us, we cannot simply wish for transformation or hope that our lives will be altered through circumstance. If our patterns of thought and behavior remain unchanged, our lives will continue to unfold much as they have previously. Making change, managing change, and mastering change is on the agenda of all who expect to remain relevant and relate to this new season in the universe and in time. Wayne Dyer puts it this way: when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same.
everyone must change. No one stays the same. The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold. 'Cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life can be sure of, except rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, and hummingbirds do fly. Winter turns to spring. Wounded heart will heal, yes, it will. But never much too soon. Yes, everything. Summer beaches foam,
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.